don't let them ride.
Larry Bell on guitar, blues guitar at that. He's very proud of that. With Don't Let the Devil Ride. It's the title track of his 2012 album, but it is, believe it or not, a major gospel song. And you see the ready transition into the blues, as much of gospel is. It's really about the blues. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we're tackling two things today. Well, I did say yesterday that we will continue the conversation from yesterday, which had to do with what was the reason? How do we understand the logic, if there is logic, to the decision by African Americans starting in South Carolina, and it looks like it will go on for some more states today, by the way. Who is voting today in Super Tuesday? We have Alabama, Arkansas, California, Colorado, Maine, Massachusetts, Minnesota, North Carolina, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, Vermont, and Virginia, as well as Democrats abroad. And we also have American Samoa voting today. What they're voting for is delegates that the candidates will have to snag to reach their quota, and then from there it goes on into another round. This is all so silly to me. It's just preposterous. You have a country that's supposedly leading the way in science and math, and yet we go through these things. But there is a science to it, and the science is to frustrate the heck out of people and to build in as many ways to deny a typical outcome. For example, let's go back to South Carolina, for example. We had in South Carolina, things were pretty heated. We had Buttigieg, we had Mayor Bloomberg, we had all kinds of people deciding that they're going to take the opportunity to turn things around starting in South Carolina. Okay, up until South Carolina, Joe Biden was a pitiful man. He had no prospects. Things were looking quite dim. He hadn't impressed at all up until that point in debates, what they are calling debates. He hadn't impressed anybody. In fact, it was quite depressing to watch him perform. What he was hoping and praying for, he actually received. He was hoping and praying to just last until South Carolina. Why? Because he knew it was organized, it was planned, that South Carolina was where he will be revived, where he will be reborn, where he would have really a good shot as a bona fide candidate up until South Carolina. You may recall from watching these Q&A sessions, Biden was not at all impressive. So he couldn't by himself score high points like a Buttigieg did, for example. On his own, he impressed whoever was his base, but he performed impressively and had all the trappings of a bona fide candidate. Like he had a machine. I mean, this is how it appeared. Buttigieg came in, he had a machine, he had people who wanted him to win. He had a constituency, a natural constituency, because he's a gay man. And he had a vision. He had youth on his side. Everybody else in the race was kind of hanging, you know, hangdog. But what did Joe Biden bring to the party? What did he bring? Well, he brought experience. That means he's old. Okay? So, you know, there's experience, and then there's experience. There's a kind of experience you have when, with age, you gather knowledge and expertise and contacts, and you come with a base. He didn't do that. He just walked in and, you know, was basically hoping that everybody would remember he was Vice President to Barack Obama. Okay. And up until South Carolina, we can safely say that he might have been sympathetic to some of the initiatives undertaken by Obama. Did he initiate any of them? Did he fight for any of them? Was he a point man on any of them? Did he lead the fight on any of them? It worked out well for Obama too. He was less scary having an older white man as his vice president, so as to communicate to the world at large, he would not be prone to, as I say, bolting from the plantation. He put himself under, he elevated Biden's credentials by selecting him. It was an interesting move, because Biden as vice president had to be tutored by Barack Obama. And good thing Biden paid attention. Good thing Biden did his assignments reasonably well. Because the benefit to him was he got automatically access to a community he had not invested in, really. Like any of the other white politicians, including white Southern politicians, he got what he had hoped for. Some of my best friends are black. Okay. But this time around, there is no Barack Obama. And that's why his candidacy had faltered for so long. You may recall when the whole hype was about, you know, taking Trump down via impeachment. I told you what the deal was. It was right there. You could see it. The whole fight wasn't really against Trump. It was to protect Biden because his credentials are shallow when it comes to the African-American community. And he's running. He had personal problems. His son had personal problems. They had major problems with that arrangement in Ukraine, which still has not been explained. So he needed protection from then. And the party decided he was going to be their guy. He fit the picture. He was middle of the road. He's not rambunctious as Sanders. And he is likely to stay in line because, among other things, we saw evidence, as we had seen with Trump, you know, muttering, unable to keep focus. We saw some of that. But just the same, party loyalties dictated that they have to pull Biden through. So they invented this whole impeachment thing and then failed at doing a good job of it. They thought the word impeachment was going to make everybody faint. But the whole case rested on the son's affiliation with a company that in turn became embroiled with the president. See how it works? So it looked perfectly natural, perfectly legal for them to come at Trump that way. But it was really to save Biden. I said it, you may recall, very early in the game. This has nothing to do with impeachment because Trump is a renegade president, breaking the law left and right. Yeah, they knew this from day one. But the point was, it was a perfect time, as my friend would say, a curious concatenation of events that brought all of this together. So it looked perfectly natural that the Democratic Party is taking on Trump because he did many crooked things in Ukraine. Well, we know somebody else who had been charged with doing many crooked things in Ukraine. But the kind of ammunition that they had against Trump outweighed the kind of ammunition the other side had against Biden and his son. That fight still isn't over, by the way. But it served a purpose. And this is why I say the Democratic Party really went to its scuzziest level with this impeachment trial. And it lost. It gambled, it lost. Because of very poor leadership. Very poor leadership. There's no way they should have lost that case if they had competent representation in a court of law. But water behind the bridge? Under the bridge? Well, so now we have Biden, who is lost. He is totally out of it. There is no immediate place for him to put his hook. There's no party ready for him. So they decide that by hook or by crook, what they can do with these impeachment hearings is tackle the Republicans and sink Trump. In the meantime, you build up Biden, who does not deserve that. That turnout in South Carolina, he knows it in his own heart. That spectacular turnout, churned out by black leaders like Jim Clyburn and others, who rallied the black vote for Biden. And there was something particularly offensive about that to me. You know, people thought it was such a heartstring moment. Not for me. I said, there we go again. precisely at a time you had an opportunity to break with the plantation, you went and got some better locks to lock yourself in it, to tie yourself with this Democratic Party. You can't get away from it. You won't get away from it. And there was a magnificent opportunity to say, we're going, thank you for everything, but we're leaving. This party continues to hold to its tradition of marginalizing the black vote, marginalizing the Latino vote, and lately, marginalizing the Asian vote. It's to its detriment, but they keep doing it in your face, and they're winning at it. And I wonder, what is it with these folks that they're not seeing what they're doing? They're not understanding what they're doing. This is precisely the time to misbehave. This is precisely the time to break. Because isn't it odd that every single voting time, black people, people of color, come last on the list? We don't even get a quid pro quo. We don't deserve even that. And the only thing that you're looking for is somebody to show up like an automaton at a voting site and press the lever for, or press the button for Biden. This has got to stop. This self-flagellation has got to stop. We get nothing. We get nothing out of Joe Biden. He has yet to state a principle that he stands by, specifically aimed at the African American community. He gives you nothing but platitudes. We're done with that. You've gotten from the African American community more than you ever deserve. They made you. They kept you. And here we are today, you know, there'd be a lot of hoopla about, oh, this is the great big time election, 14 states voting, it's Super Tuesday, and we should all be excited. Here's my point. That has nothing to do with us. That's party business. And we, the party has shown us how they measure our importance. So we part with the party. That's a great idea. I mean, when is it time? When do you think is a good time? How much time do you need to demonstrate that you understand the value of the vote? It brought you alive. You were dead. You had no prospects. And everybody's acting as if this is okay. No, it's not. It is an extraordinary act. And people need to understand that. It is extraordinary generosity. People had to go to their blackboards and erase half of the things that Joe Biden didn't do just to contend with the reality that what they are about to do is to relaunch him as the Democrats had planned. Now you have to read that in a different way. The Democrats didn't just plan to resuscitate Joe Biden. That plan necessitated once again the utter humiliation of the black vote. And somebody's got to pay. That's how you look at it politically. There's a price to pay for that. In 2020, people are still following the old playbook. Black people support the white guy. We get nothing. But we hope and pray, and we sing a couple of verses of We Shall Overcome, and then in 4 years, we repeat. I say to the African-American community, to communities of color, you're either ready or you're not. You either understand what time it is or you don't. Stop playing games, because you are playing games with a possession so rare. Given at the expense of people's lives, the investment they had made just to achieve certain things that you would consider parity. Parity in this racist nation. And you thought of it as an end goal, and well, it's been achieved, so now let's return to normal. There is no normal. What you consider normal is a continuum. Of struggle. It should irritate the heck out of every African American person that today, after they snatched this guy where he put himself, they snatched him up by the scruff of his neck and breathed life into him, give him a second chance. And it didn't take even an hour before he started thumping his chest as if, well, this is what I've achieved. This is what I've done. And I'm going to go do more. I'm going to win here and I'm going to win there. You had no prospect of winning anywhere. So the African American community has to get serious. Or instead commit itself publicly to being clowns at the circus. What have we gotten from this party that had anything to do with what was outlined as the plan for our people? What did we get? And don't tell me, well, you desegregated schools. Hip, hip, hooray for you. We built our own schools. That's our record. Well, we have the job situation. Black folks, even in servitude, provided for themselves. They had their own occupations. They owned their homes. They built their homes. What are you talking about? They had micro economies going. Yes, slavery. Yes, no question about it. But we also have evidence that some demanded payment and got it. That should be number one on the list. who deserves reparations in this country and still didn't get it? That's justice. That's a justice agenda. I don't hear anybody addressing it, including Sanders and the so-called progressives. They might have forgotten. They might have forgotten the vision. But it is irritating me more that the people who should be very, very adamant that they get what they deserve, they get what they were invested in, they get this party to stop playing games, and they should stop playing games with the party. This party is not for you. If it continues to bamboozle you, it continues to mislead you, it continues to lie to you, it continues to automatically assign you to second grade status? No. I don't care who wins, personally. It doesn't matter to me who wins. It matters to me that we win. It matters to me that we have an agenda that the Democratic Party openly commits to. That's what I say. Other than that, you could keep all your candidates and your all day voting and your Super Tuesday and all. You could keep that. That does nothing to me. I still know that on the books show that you owe this community, and you better start pinpointing how you will implement your plan of repayment. I'll stop here right now, give your nerves a little bit of time to cool off, and I'll come right back right after this.
Let them be your boss. Hold on. Let them be your boss. If you let them be your boss, your soul will be lost.
Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Yatrice Lead, and we're picking up from where we left off with each other yesterday. I'm a little bit agitated, as you can tell, but rightly so. The number to call to be in on this conversation is 888-874-4888. I promised you yesterday, those of you who weren't able to get in on the conversation because we were overloaded, today's your day at 888-874-4888. Tony Orlando. Tony from Orlando. You're on the air.
Hi, Yatrice. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
To quote Willie from Brooklyn last week, I'm scared to talk to you right now after all that you just gave us. I'm scared right now, Yatrice. No, but you just laid everything out. I don't know how I can add on to what you just said. I mean, the only thing I can add on is that introduction song that you just played. It's one of the reasons they gave the black community in South Carolina an excuse to vote for Joe Biden, is that he is the devil. He is the devil that we know, you know. And basically what we saw in South Carolina is the Democrat Party in preservation mode. they see Bernie Sanders as a big, big threat in this election. And what we saw was a huge effort to make sure that Bernie Sanders does not become the Democratic nominee. You saw that even after the primary, where you had Buttigieg and Klobuchar, they all combined in force with Biden. Something that last week I didn't even see that happening. I mean, we were talking about how the Democrat Party was so fragmented. Now look at the Democrat Party, and you're starting to see it unite behind a establishment candidate, which is the dead man walking, Joe Biden.
Well, what do you expect from tonight's massive vote?
It's going to be a surprise again. This thing is something we can't. It's something that we've been. It's been very difficult to predict because you got to remember there's a lot of early voting that went on, so a lot of the votes are going to be fragmented still. A lot of these people didn't expect Buttigieg or Klobuchar, and I believe you had Steyer also that dropped out to drop out. So there's a lot of votes that are going to go around, and Bernie Sanders might come out strong. That's what I see. Bernie Sanders still has a chance to beat Biden. But the Democrat Party doesn't want for what happened to the Republican Party to happen to it. And that's what I see is that they're trying to make sure that the outside candidate or the independent candidate does not take control of their party. Whether it loses or not, they don't care.
What about this question? Is it the right time or past even the time for some hardball negotiation here? We are letting these candidates go on with their campaigning as if, you know, it's about them. No, it's not about them. It's about what they have failed to do in the past that requires, just out of self-pride, that communities just put them aside, not pay any attention to them, because they've done this for decades and decades. And we hear the same story, and they do the same thing, which is they ignore the fact that they are supposed to be having some kind of connection with the community, speak to it. They never do. And our community is rather forgiving. Our leaders are rather forgiving. They're in the people's pockets. And we don't see a serious effort, a come-to-Jesus meeting here where people are very clear. We're not asking. We're not begging and pleading that you do these things. We're telling you these are the things that haven't been done in all these years. Are you committed to getting them done or not? And state it publicly, because now we have an agenda. But we still have no agenda. We're bringing people to life, and we have no agenda. We have no commitment.
The 2020 election Democratic agenda is to defeat Donald Trump. It's not to do anything for any of us. It's for them to take. It's for the Democratic Party to take the power away from Donald Trump. That has nothing to do with making my life better, making your life better, making anyone else's life better out here. It only has to do with power within the unit party, and that's it. That's all it has to do. Every single one of those candidates up there, all they talk about is how I'm the candidate that's going to beat Donald Trump. And so what are you going to do for me once you do that? None of them has elaborated on what they're going to do for the country. Everything's about power and taking over power and about them controlling the power. And within the Democrat primary, everything is about who's going to control the power within the Democrat Party. And that's what we saw in South Carolina, that the Democrats, and I believe Obama is behind a lot of this, are influencing to make sure that Bernie, you know, the likes of Bernie Sanders, and it's not because Bernie Sanders is going to be so much better for everybody and all this. All I'm saying is that Bernie Sanders is not the establishment Democrat candidate, and they don't want to be on the sidelines. They don't want to put a Bernie to put in his people in power and put all of the other Democrat officials on the sidelines, just the same how Trump did with, I'm sure you heard of the term, the Never Trumpers, where you have a lot of conservatives that were supposedly conservative or Republican, but now hate their Republican or conservative president. And they don't want to be the Never Bernies. And that's what we're seeing.
Well, we'll get a hint tonight as to which direction this party is headed. Thanks, E, for calling in. I'm not E, Tony. Thank you so much for calling in. E from Edgewater, you're on the air.
Hi, Idris.
Hello.
Well, I think you and Tony are being taken for a ride. And, you know, the news, they put out these stories, they're playing it out, and they throw the bait in the water, and you're going with it. And your imagination's going wild now. 6 months ago, I told you, Biden, before he was even in the race, Biden's going to get the nomination. Bernie, because of the way he's being treated, this is the way it's all being produced. It's a stage play. They're all in on it together, and we're being taken for a ride. So now Bernie will be forced to run as an independent this time, and it's all designed to have Donald Trump win again, and it'll seem believable to everyone that he could, that this man, Donald Trump, could win two terms. I said it from when he first won against Hillary. That's when it was all revealed that it was just a play going on, and Hillary didn't want to be the president. She wanted to make sure Trump was, because he's the patsy in the whole thing. He gets blamed for everything, and because it's all rigged and set up, he doesn't worry ever. He goes on being a big shot because he knows everything's going to be all right for him. He's got 8 years to be the president. And why? Because politicians don't want to be in there anymore. So they all have to play it together. That's why I told you 6 months ago, it's Biden, Bernie will be running as an independent, they'll take votes from each other, and everybody will believe Trump squeaked out a victory because of what happened between Biden and Bernie.
But Bernie isn't running as an independent tonight.
What?
Is not running as an independent today or tonight.
I know, but once Biden gets the nomination because of what they're doing to Bernie now, everybody thinks that Bernie's getting picked on, and now they're making Biden look good. Biden had to start off slow, acting like he's, you know, not all there. And then it's more dramatic that way, so that they get your attention, they get everybody's attention, they get you to get the fear in you, you grab the bait, you take it way out, you're going on a run now. The impeachment was to protect Biden. How did that protect him? They exposed that his son's done illegal things. It would be totally illogical to have him as the candidate for the Democratic Party when they already got stuff on him. This is all designed to make a big story up to get to the bottom line of Trump being president again and why people would believe it was possible.
I'm not at all concerned about party politics. I think the party presumes way too much of itself, aided and abetted by the media, to basically descend on us all and feed us whatever it is they want to feed us. But because it's been done over and over and over for decades, we need to stop this cycle. We don't need them to tell us what we need to be concerned about. This business of the great voting night, the great voting day, Super Tuesday, That's party business. It's not my business. I don't care what happens in Super Thursday. It is completely irrelevant to me. That they, the parties, in fact, I think that this poses a constitutional question. That because the parties are having their internal, they're settling internal matters. Why do you hog airtime? Why do you occupy every bit of space, public space, is given to the party's business? Let the party foot the bill. You can have your own thing broadcast 24 hours a day. This is not my business. Whoever you choose as your candidate, that's up to you. I am not involved in that, and I don't want to be involved in that. What I want is to settle unsettled matters, to finish unfinished business. I don't care who the party chooses. It wouldn't be the first time they might have chosen the wrong person. That's their business. That's internal party business as far as I'm concerned. It has nothing to do with me.
But you, Therese, when I was 9 years old, 1963, I saw Kennedy get murdered. And I said, there's something really wrong with the government. Since then, it's all been an arrangement. I don't know how I'm going to get you to believe, but if Bernie runs as an independent and Biden wins the nomination, will you start believing me then?
No, I don't believe in anybody per se. I believe in my own brain. I believe in my own research. I believe in what people I know who have spent years and years and years and years studying and researching, I would believe them. But I am not carrying the Democratic Party and its aims and objectives in my head as priority items. Today is, in fact, the day we should be raising the question, why are these parties, Republicans and Democrats alike, permitted to basically take charge of media, take charge of public media? If they're paying for it, it's even worse. But there are so many conflicting elements in all of this that I think we need to move on that. That this is not right. You are having party business, choosing your delegates and whatever it is. That's your business. Has nothing to do with me. I want, where I feel that I matter in this whole equation, I want an accounting. I want to know why people are so slavish to this party, pardon the pun. And I want to know, why is it that this party, this particular party, with a history of solid support from one sector of our society in particular, still refuses to deliver? And and we should begin the process of separating from this party. It is not good. It does not even think that certain people and their concerns matter. So just say goodbye. Thanks for calling in. Lincoln, from Mount Vernon, you're on the air.
Yes, you, Therese. How are you?
Okay.
Okay. I want to say, one is in reference to Bernie Sanders. I want to point out to people that Bernie Sanders actually, in an interview, said that giving black people a check is not helpful. He actually said that. I also want to show you that if these politicians, and this is all in reference to tonight.
But he said that, and, but in what context did he say that?
They questioned him about black
reparations.
The movement right now for black people on trying to get reparation, and his response to reparation was that a check to them will not be helpful. He actually said that, and this is recently. But we want to hear what we want to hear because we love to glorify politicians. We are into symbolic politics. We're not into politics where it is for the good of the people. And that's why in a previous thing I said, you know, imagine the most successful government for the people was that of Gaddafi. There is no country.
We're not having a contest here because you're not really in a place to make that judgment about who was the most successful and who was not the most successful based on what
evidence
criteria
shows that.
Did you yourself go there and study it?
No, this is a known fact.
Okay.
It is a known fact.
No. You can't argue and just say it's a known fact.
If you could go do the research yourself and you'll see that it is so.
I am not going to do the research because that's not my position.
Well, I'll continue to say what I have to say, but maybe Friday I'll call you and I will enumerate all the his successes.
But what is the point of it?
So
just
what
to
I'm
prove
saying
that
is,
he was different and perhaps even better?
No. What I'm saying is some of the things that Bernie Sanders is suggesting that he wants to offer the people of this country, it's nothing. It pales in comparison to what...
But we are not discussing that. You always off target. We're not discussing the content of Bernie Sanders' position. I'm discussing the need to leave the Democratic Party. That's what
we
I'm
need
discussing.
To leave all of the parties.
Okay, that's up to people.
And
but
we need to
create
a party for the people.
Consistent and massive, massive investment in this party. It is unacceptable in 2020 to have the same go around, the same silly ceremony of pretend democracy. We should be done with that. Thanks
and
for
one
calling.
Of the reasons why we are in...
Sorry, go ahead. Okay. Ed from Jamaica, Queens, you're on the air. Ed? Okay, Ed isn't there. You see, this is where we should be and should have been a long time ago. I don't care who is elected and who is not elected and, you know, who's looking to run for what seat. It doesn't change my condition. That's what I'm worried about. And that goes for the progressives. It goes even for the socialists and the radicals. Who is going to commit or who will do the job of fulfilling commitments made decades and decades and even in some cases centuries ago? Here we are taking care of the party's business. I'm not a member of the party. I don't want to be a member of the party. I have no interest in promoting a party that has such a treacherous record. And yet, my little puny voice over here is countermanded by people who should know better. You have a whole machinery organized to bring back Joe Biden from the jaws of death, and we can't have that machine go lobby and get what we need from the same party? then this is not a party we should be part of. We need to play some hardball here and get serious. Ed, you're here. Is Ed back?
Hello, can you hear me? Yes.
Yes,
hello.
Finally.
Can you hear me? Hey, how you doing, Utrecht?
Okay, you have a short time.
Yeah, well, basically, I mean, you're preaching to the choir. You've said everything that I've said, that you've said, that we've been saying from the very beginning of this debacle last year. It's time for African Americans in particular, and the rest of the public in general, to give up this party politic garbage. Party politics is dead, in my opinion, in this country. And it's going to take a new movement. My opinion, like I said before, time and time again, is going to be a local movement. You're going to have to start in your own districts. You're going to have to start to take control of your own sections. You're going to have to try to control how the voting districts are drawn, who comes out to vote, when they come out to vote. Like I said before, vote down the ballot. Nobody on the top of the ballot has anything to do with my particular desires, demands, my needs. I'm voting down the ballot. I'm looking for local politicians that are doing positive things, and I'm working with them. I have no interest or concern with the Democratic Party as to what they're doing, because they have no interest or concern with me. They're in a bubble. They're servicing their own selves, and they need to go the way of the dinosaur and the dodo. That's pretty much it.
The dinosaur and the dodo. All right.
Yep.
Thanks for calling in. Walter from Virginia, I hate to warn you, Walter. I'm glad that you're here, but yeah, tight with time.
No problem.
Okay. All right.
First of all, Utrecht, it's been a while since I spoke with you, and greetings to you and the Utrecht Lead audience.
Thank you so much.
Quite simply, I think what happened in South Carolina, as many of your callers had touched on, it's the devil that you know. And, oh, by the way, who are the influencers in South Carolina that the vast majority of black folks are going to listen to and be guided by? Who do they have
that would be Jim Clyburn.
Other than Jim Clyburn, who's a party hack. So other than that, where's the contravailing voice? Where are the Utrecht Leads in South Carolina that can give them an alternative point of view and give them the facts on that alternative point of view that they can hang their hats on?
I don't know, but I'm here. You here? And we talking real talk. This is important. We should dispense with the emotionalism of things, because that's where they get you every time. Oh, you sing a good rousing chorus of "We shall overcome," when the joke is we are overcome. You know, and we need to serve notice. No more of this junk. No more of it. We're done with it. And by the way, the reason this is a big deal tonight is a lot of money is being spent. And that's why you can't get your regular news. That's why your programs have been preempted for live coverage, and it's a big to do. They're paying for this. They're fighting for space. They have a lot of money to give to the networks. Are the networks telling you what the real issues are? No. They're not going to do that. So it's a big ball of incestuousness. And a story that should have been told from a different point of view, as we discussed it yesterday, why does Joe Biden deserve black support? And why are people giving him that? That's a big question, but it will never be raised, because money interests say, you know, let's not go there. Let's talk about something else. Thank you, Walter, for calling in. Thank you all for calling in and participating. I really feel so lucky that people feel so comfortable to say exactly what they feel. And this is why I love this program, because I get to connect with you and you get to connect with others. So thanks so much for listening today. You join again with each other tomorrow. Bye-bye.